Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
All y'all
out there.
That's what we say here in Virginia.
Podcasting land.
All y'all need
all
to be
y'all.
Listening.
Or annyeong, annyeong haseyo.
All 10 people that listen.
Gamsahamnida. Yeah, all that stuff, that's some Korean there. You got any other languages? You got some...
I don't know no language.
You got some Spanish?
If you take Taekwondo, you learn like how to count from 1 to 10. But there's different ways, apparently, to count from 1 to 10 in Korean.
Mm.
And
really?
I was like, I was working with this guy, and he's Korean, and I was like, I can count to 10. He's like, I counted to 10. Mm-hmm. He's like, you took Taekwondo. I was like, how'd you know? He says, that's the kind of counting
that's
they
Taekwondo
teach.
Taekwondo style.
That's Whoa. The counting they teach to Taekwondo
how
students.
How is there different ways of counting to 10?
I don't know. I can't confirm what he says. Trusting what he says, because I don't know what the... I don't remember. He did explain something, but I don't remember. But it's like Hana Dual Set Net Dasup Yasup something.
Wow.
You'll go or something like
I'm
that.
I'm super curious about this now. Dude. I'm now mildly distracted from this podcast. That
well,
doing.
It's just what he said. I can't confirm it.
Sure. That was really wild. Dude.
Oh, anyways,
well, we'll look it up.
Yeah,
we'll look it up.
What were we talking about?
I don't know.
We're about to talk about some Star Trek.
Shit, that's right.
Star Trek.
Because
It's Got Star Trek.
Yeah, we're welcoming people to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
What does that mean?
Oh, hang on. What have we got here?
Start talking.
Monster.
Jesse almost said a bunch of stuff. I could feel it on.
Oh, you mean during the while you were playing your
right
little,
right before
mini,
right
mini audio cavalcade.
Right before I start hit the button, I heard him go like he was going to say something, but he didn't. So that means that's good.
I had control.
So I
was aware and I had control.
There's nothing to be critical about, you know?
Yeah. We're still friends.
Yeah, we're still friends.
For now.
Yeah.
Yes.
I will accept your judgment in this situation.
This is good old-fashioned It's Got Star Trek.
It
happens to be. Well, maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
It will be.
It could be that it goes down.
You're talking about this episode?
In the history. He's talking about this episode of It's Got Star Trek.
Okay.
He has not yet provided his opinion.
We have not yet done it yet.
On the episode of Star Trek that we'll be discussing.
Irony notwithstanding, few things in life are black and white.
But, okay, we're gonna go over all of this. But first, I must note that if indeed this goes down as a classic episode of It's Got Star Trek, to find it, you're going to want to scroll back and look for episode 352. because that's the episode that we are currently doing.
Future.
The evidence does not support your hypothesis. The
sentence I made, I just said, didn't make much sense. I get it.
I got it.
I know.
Sort of.
I know. You're right, Spock.
I don't make a lot of sense.
Then you have your answer.
And what are we talking about this week?
Indeed.
On the old It's Got Star Trek.
Was it called like a case or something?
It's called, well, first, it's Strange New Worlds.
Yes.
It's season 4
yeah.
of Strange New Worlds. Episode 4.
Episode 4.
Of Strange New Worlds. Mm. Isn't that wild?
Whoa.
And the name of the episode is A Case of Chiaroscuro.
Ah, yeah.
There's a job to do.
To the Empire.
I'm fine, just not used to seeing things in black and white.
Mm, was it metaphorical? Was Uhura being metaphorical?
Of all the gin joints.
I don't.
What does that mean?
I know. I know. What the, I don't know what anything means in this episode. But
I know.
Noir, man.
It was looking into my own casket.
I have a whole section on how this was not, in fact, for all the efforts. I'm not ill will or whatever the right term is.
Right.
To the producers, I know how TV's tricky and stuff. This was not a not a noir. Star Trek has done noir before,
right,
and
yeah,
often quite well.
Right.
I think the
this
example,
was just black and white.
The example that pops to mind most often is Honor Among Thieves from Deep Space Nine, which, despite being in color, was an actual noir plot. Mm-hmm. And it was really, really well written and produced.
Yes.
By saying that, I don't mean to imply anything about this episode. We have not yet revealed our opinions of this. Of this episode of Strange New Worlds. Mm-mm. A case of...
We had
to.
It wasn't for you to know.
By the way, speaking of irony...
That's odd.
Because chiaroscuro is the art of using like monochrome or black and white, black against white, etc., in film and art and stuff like that.
Where?
And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, neither did I.
Wow.
Prior to...
I trust you will not forget it again.
You had to look it up.
Yeah, I had to look it up also to figure out how to pronounce it. I do not necessarily believe I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Chiaroscuro?
I've heard it pronounced a few different ways. Chiaroscuro.
Chiaroscuro?
Is that like Greek or something?
Chiaroscuro?
Did I pass?
It feels Italian. I don't know that it is, but there are a lot of Italian art terms, aren't there?
Oh, yeah.
Piano.
Most of them.
Piano is Italian?
Piano is Italian.
Fellatio, what's that?
Forte.
Oh, forte, yeah.
It is misguided.
I enjoyed the actor. I have comments about
Commander Kor.
Commander Kor.
And the mind scanner. We've heard of these things before.
We have. And
though I didn't see much similarity between
them. Well, yes, that's one of the things we'll get into. So we can get right to it. I know we kind of, sort of.
It would certainly be effective.
But just to lay things out.
Lay it out on the ground for you to sit on and do your business.
Do it.
Sit on it and spread them wide and do your business.
Just the audience should know.
Rotate.
That's a, Dan had, that's a non-scripted, that's an improvised line from Dan right there.
We didn't know he was going to say
it. Was not part of the regular script.
Grab them flaps and spread them wide and do your business.
What kind of flaps?
Do your business right there on the episode.
All right.
Wow.
You want people to do their business on the episode?
On the episode!
With their flaps spread wide.
All right. What?
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 Still my favorite.
Yeah.
Still my favorite. Charles
Tripp. I don't get it.
Charles Tripp Tucker III.
Sabotage.
Sabotage.
No better character in all of Star Trek, I think, than Charles Tripp Tucker III.
Where would I stay?
So
buttons.
The schedule for...
Schedule.
This episode.
Episode.
That's not... Okay.
Chief O'Brien?
Oh, we didn't do duties last week.
Well, yes, this is what I'm trying to get to, Dan.
Don't fall into those traps.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's Dan and that's Jesse. I'm Patrick.
Yeah.
Because there are a couple things we want to do. First of all...
checkpoint.
I'll get to the duties or no duties in just a second, Dan. we will do our Where the Hell Have I Heard That
Before.
Do
you want to tell her what you had for lunch today, too?
No, I don't. I do want to mention that we will do Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before in the last section of the show. Those
brilliant
who know what that is, you will be excited. Those who don't know what that is, you ought to be excited.
Wow. Never waver!
It's a fun
game.
You
better get excited.
It's a fun game to play.
This is an adjustment for all of us.
And Dan, other than duty or no duties, are there any of your regular gimmicks? Any of your regular gags,
Dan
like
can't
a,
stand.
Dan can't stands, or that's in orders, or
no. I mean, there's another duty or no duty, but you said beside that,
grinds your gears.
I mean, there's just a list. I thought Spock was being kind of silly this episode.
All right, so we'll have a Dan silly Spock list. That's another thing to look forward to. But yes, first we must address the duty or no duty.
Not sure I'm ready for that yet.
Issue, because last week.
This is an outdated duty or no duty.
Last week.
We have a situation.
We were very embarrassed because we had, on the prior week, we had a duty or no duty that we had forgotten to play. We announced it, but then forgot to play it. And that was for the episode.
A disappointing twist of fortune.
That was for the episode, The Griffin Incident. So last week we played the duty or no duty for the Griffin Incident.
Right. And then we forgot to do the duty no duty for that.
And that episode was Human Best Friend. So
this totally is bad.
So before we discussed it, we kept talking about how we were sorry.
Disgusted is right, Patrick.
And then we did it, and then we forgot. You forgot to.
Disgust. You said before
disgust.
We discussed it?
Disgusted.
Disgusted is right.
Were you disgusted in yourself?
I was disgusted.
No. Or were you disgusted?
So. Sorry again, because we forgot.
Again,
we promised last week that we wouldn't forget, and we forgot.
So
what we're going to do this week is we're going to do the duty or no duties for Human Best Friend from last week. And then immediately, because Dan has indicated there are, there's at least one duty or no duty. There's one duty or no duty for this episode, a case of... and
holograms?
We're going to do them at the same time. So we'll start with a Human Best Friend duty or no duty. So put your minds into that episode, and then... That's the duty or no duty coming up right
now. Okay, but imagine you're all high on some planet and trying to go on a journey. Mm. Okay, here we go.
Okay, guys. No matter what, this has to go well. We are Starfleet officers. And as of right now, we are back on duty. Mm. Even if the world is on fire, no interruptions. There's too much at stake. Steak sounds really good right now, doesn't it?
Yes.
We are back on duty. We are back on duty. We are back on duty. We are back on duty.
All right. So, Jesse, before you give your answer,
of no duty, that's what Jesse's going to say.
I want to make one comment that I didn't make last week that I forgot.
Fuck off.
That I was just reminded of is that the impression I got from Anson Mount acting inebriated in whatever way you want, it looked to me, right, like the way somebody acts inebriated.
Sounds like someone's inebriated.
I sound like Scotty. So if somebody wants to pretend like they don't know, like they've never been on like drugs and they want to like, but you know, like they have done a bunch of drugs, but they don't want people to think they've done a bunch of drugs. So they do what they think is like how somebody who hasn't done a bunch of drugs.
You think that's what Anson Mount's doing?
I think that's what Anson Mount's doing.
You think he's done a lot of drugs and he doesn't want people to know about
it? I think Anson Mount is a brilliant actor, and I think a brilliant actor of his caliber would have acted better. Like he would have played stoned or whatever you want to call it, tripping better. Except, like, I was like, why isn't he playing? Like why is he hamming it up a little bit? And I was like, oh, it's because he's doing that weird double
bluff.
He's
like, my parents are watching this. I don't want them to think I'm
He might have been actually on shrooms during the whole shoot.
It's the best part.
All right. Comment about last week's episode concluded. Jesse.
We are back on duty.
Jesse, what do you call it? What do you call that? Duty or no duty?
Duty.
Oh my God! Yeah. This is a first.
No, it's to me. It's obviously a duty.
Of course, it's a duty.
We are back on duty.
But Jesse never says that.
I hear duty.
Yeah, I hear duty. I see duty.
Keep talking.
Unequivocal duty.
I see two pieces of duty right in front of me.
Well, and audience, you can always write in and let us know if you thought this was a no duty. In other words, if you believe that they enunciated the word duty with a real sharp T.
He did not.
Please feel free to write into us. I don't think we'll get many emails on that regard because
I'm merely responding to your query.
This is not too controversial. Some of the duty or no duties are certainly borderline or controversial. I don't think that one was.
Slim. Not possible.
Were there any other duty or no duties from Human Best Friend
Day? No!
All right. Now, let's move along home.
Okay.
To any or the duty or no duty for this week's episode, a case of the C word.
So you are no longer high. You are now in black and white. Mm. Imagine you're in this, you were that right now. Okay, here we go.
One day we returned to find our hospital surrounded by these loyalists, our patients trapped inside.
What were your orders?
Our first duty is always to our patients. Our first duty is... Our first duty is... Our first duty is...
Jesse?
No duty.
Yeah, I'm a no duty on that.
We're all in agreement.
Wow.
We're in agreement.
Wow. That's, what the hell is going on?
On both. Yeah. No duty.
Yeah. What? Get.
That's what you say. That's what you say when we're all in agreement.
Get.
Unprecedented.
Lieutenant.
All right.
That's a tactic called sonic vigilance.
Sonic vigilance. There's a tone that Klingons can't hear, but we don't actually know what that tone does. I guess it's some kind of Morse code, but it was the same pattern over and over.
I think it was just a signal. I got the impression.
It was just a signal.
You know, until you just mentioned it, I didn't even think that an actual message was encoded. It's plausible.
It was the same pattern, so it wasn't.
I took it to mean that's just the sound that plays whenever the Klingons show up.
When they're about to show up.
Yeah, somebody clicks a button or something.
Fair enough. I'll take that.
Okay. Good.
Good.
Good. Good.
Sounds good, baby.
All right.
Good.
Did I pass?
So we've dispensed with the duty or no duties, and we can move along now home to...
B'Elanna's on it.
To, huh? Oh, you mean that's that fun clip that Seska says on that episode of Voyager. Hello, Seska. Yeah, Dan.
Oh, good.
Holograms.
B'Elanna's on it.
I'm making a joke, because we've been playing that clip for years, and Dan and I thought it was B'Elanna saying it, talking in the third person. We just thought that was perfectly reasonable, and I think, honestly, I think Jesse's pointed out a few times that it was Seska, and Dan and I just weren't paying attention, didn't hear what he said.
Yeah.
And then, eventually, Jesse's like, no, that's Seska who says that. It's not B'Elanna.
Why would B'Elanna?
I feel like I can't trust myself.
Yeah. Me too.
Going to murder everybody.
Oh, well.
Brutality.
Now,
brutality.
That's a somewhat upsetting statement, Jesse, particularly as it didn't seem to be connected to anything.
We both know he prefers brutality.
Anything in the conversation seemed to be just out of the blue. He's just threatening everybody.
We have a situation.
We apparently do, Dan. I hope we're not in one of those things where it's like a modern version of Speed, where we have to keep doing the podcast. As soon as the podcast is done recording, Jesse's going to murder us.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to start shooting.
You sound like Christine.
Okay. We must now begin to discuss in earnest.
We're deep into it already.
So now, first thing I want to talk about is...
What do we thought of the episode?
Not necessarily the whole episode. Let's say...
I can tell you what I thought of the episode.
Well, how about we start with a few of the conceits of the episode, right? Because there's always some...
Yes.
Some stuff we're supposed to, take for granted, right?
Mm-hmm. Some kind of World War II stuff.
So, item number one, they have a sci-fi reason for everything being in black and white.
Right.
I was fine with that. Mm-hmm. I thought that's kind of fun.
And you were okay with that was like...
I'm okay with that.
That they had an in-universe reason to present... For an out of universe way of presenting the episode, meaning they were trying to go for a genre, they were going for a genre, and that genre there was an in universe reason for having one of the attributes of that genre,
which is one of the issues I have, not the idea of an in universe reason of
you just didn't think they did their genre correctly.
Well, that too, right. But also people in the noir genre. In the noir movies that are in black and white, the people in the story are not seeing black and white.
That's what I was trying to say. Were you okay with the fact that there was an in-universe reason for the genre it was presenting?
That's why my view on that is that it's a nuanced and slightly difficult to articulate view. But I had no problem with the idea of a cool sci-fi reason why everyone's seeing in black and white. Mm-hmm. That's whether it's plausible or not. I don't even care. It's fun. I can imagine you can do some fun stuff with that.
Sure.
But then
sure.
To make then, being like, okay, now we're going to do a noir, yeah. But then they don't do a noir, and I'm happy to discuss that at length, but I think let's save that for a little bit. So that I had a problem with that bit, not with the principle of let's do a black and white episode and have like a fun reason for it. I mean, Voyager did the, you know, the holographic Dr. Goof-em-ups. Remember, you know, the crazy Dr. Crazy Balls, you know, Tom Paris's
robot. Shaking some maracas.
This is like, I'm doing like a wobbly, didn't they have the wobbly robot with the, like the wobbly tube arms? Yeah, Dr. Spaceman, the Dr. Spaceman episode. But they did a lot of, there was a black and white in that episode.
But that was in a holodeck.
Yeah, well, exactly. They had a reason. Yeah. And that was kind of fun.
This one, this sort of crossed between real life and story life because the real life thing was the genre they chose. And then the story life thing was they can only see black and white. And then one, the real life thing was the reason for the universe thing.
Now I would like to return. I don't know that you were complimenting me earlier about my hand movements, Dan, but I would like to return.
It was entertaining
because you were like kind of sticking your arms into your armpits, not quite like the Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, Molly Shannon
character, not quite like that.
It's gonna smell.
You definitely weren't smelling. I mean, you're sniffing your fingers now, but previously you weren't.
Sister Mary Catherine Gallagher or something.
Yeah, that sounds right. I think that's exactly correct. Jesse, what did you think about the conceit of black and white space anomaly business?
I was fine with that, and they still made it look nice, like the whole visuals, the photography or whatever. It was still black and white, but it still looked cool. It was still
nice.
It was still, you know, contemporary.
This was another,
there was depth to everything.
This was a thing that caused me some issue here too, because the cinematography, I thought, on the one hand, I did really enjoy it. It was kind of interesting and unique. It did have,
I think they used that set before in a couple other, like, some episodes of some other show. Like maybe Picard.
Some redress stuff. But look,
that is an unnecessary leap.
Like, taken by itself, like the visual look of the episode was neat. But it actually went against being a noir. And again, I can go into that a little bit more later. Setting up the lighting and doing all that stuff for black and white is really complicated. So TV budgets and digital, I don't know how these things are filmed. I know it's complicated, but I don't think a lot of this revolves around, like, clearly somebody had the idea, like, let's do a fun noir story. But then somehow along the line, they started peeling back, taking pieces of what the noir stories are out of it. And so now it's kind of like this is unfair. I was about to say an AI imitation of noir. That's not fair. It's just a compromised noir.
My main issue with it was just really boring.
Oh, well,
it was
so
boring. Sure. It was just a bunch of characters describing the plot that was happening around them.
Yes. Yeah. And a plot that was not a noir plot.
The plot wasn't happening around them. They were describing it like to let you know that it was happening. Like, and then, like you said, wasn't a noir plot. Like, this is the first time in Star Trek where I have been unable to sit and watch an episode without doing something to distract myself. Mm-hmm. Even on the episode Unforgettable, Voyager, the one where Chakotay falls in love.
Oh yeah, Jesus.
With the woman, the race of people that make humans and machines forget that you exist.
Yeah.
Which I stated in our podcast episode that was probably the most boring Star Trek episode I've ever seen. I was still able to sit I was still able to sit there
and engage with it
and watch it, engage, and not feel like I had to like surf the web or do some other activity or clean up some shit or some. But this episode, I sat there and I tried to watch it and I started twitching. I started fiddly. I was fidgeting.
Fidgeting.
Yeah. Because I was like, I need to do something else because I'm so bored right now. And then I think that's never happened to me in a Star Trek episode before. So
could you tell us what it is you ended up doing, or is that a private thing?
Did
you just start fidgeting?
Yeah. What did I think? I assume you
fidgeting with your digits.
I was gonna say he does
brutality.
I don't know that you have a fidget spinner or anything like that.
No. I think I was like looking through eBay.
Oh, looking through eBay.
I've been doing a lot of eBay scanning lately.
What do you buy on eBay?
I've just been looking at like Nintendo games on eBay.
Like hentai? You get a bunch of hentai? Hentai book? Like hardcover hentai?
I said Nintendo, and he's like, oh, you mean hentai? Nintendo is my secret code word for hentai.
Yeah, I mean, I thought maybe it is.
Why would I buy hentai off of eBay when I can just get it for free on the internet?
I don't know, dude. I don't know. It's your life.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't understand the weird shit you do, Dan.
I don't want.
Why
your
would I do that? I don't know. It's not my fault. You're fucking weird, Dan. I don't know why you're fucking weird. I don't know.
All right. Now, before we barrel,
did I do the right thing?
Barrel into the break. Let's keep going through the conceits, and then we'll discuss them in the future. We've talked a little bit about the noir, a little bit about the black and white. What do you think about this conceit that Una shows up and just happens to look exactly like?
See, now
this
that was
person.
My biggest fucking issue, actually.
That's, yeah.
Because like even Uhura at one point, okay, so the line
Uhura was like, "This is a bunch of bullshit."
Yeah.
What are you talking about? That's crazy.
Yeah.
So they arrested her.
It was okay. Yeah. So she goes. Uhura says, I mean, what are the odds Una looks so much like this woman that no one can tell the difference? And I'm like, yeah, what are the odds?
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there waiting for us to find out, and we never do.
That was really,
They look like
what?
And then Mbenkhut follows it up with like, he goes, in a universe as vast as ours, the real mystery is that we don't stumble on our doppelgangers more often. Like, no, it's not. Just because the universe is bigger doesn't mean we're more likely to stumble on our doppelgangers.
It means you're less likely. It means you're more, there's maybe more doppelgangers. But proportionally, also more people
yeah,
to
exactly.
sort through.
Right, exactly.
And it doesn't have to be like, oh, you just happen to be able to like save a planet by looking like this person. You look so much like this person that A, the guy who killed that person like believes it's her somehow.
Yeah. Right.
The facial recognition software believes it her. It's her. The Klingon, who's known for interrogation and mind stuff and like sifting, he just assumes it's her, and he seems to be like horny over her. So here's the
it's like they didn't even fucking try. Like with the way it was one thing when they made it black and white and they made it their attempt at noir or whatever. Mm. That was just them having some fun, whether you liked it or not, whatever. They did not even fucking try here. It was so lazy.
And it was almost like it was like an alternate universe or something.
Yeah.
But they don't even have that excuse.
Exactly.
Precisely because we've seen doppelgangers and stuff before in Star Trek. And generally speaking, I think there may have been a couple times where it was like, coinky dink or whatever, where it's like a relative.
You're an imposter.
T'Pol looks like your great-great-grandmother or whatever. I get it. But look, that conceit, not a big deal in isolation. It's still kind of like you'd prefer them not to rely on that. But it's like, okay, if that's the one thing we have to stretch belief for, but because of these other things like the black and white and all the machinations of the resistance and like the guy who killed you,
I don't know.
Like,
I don't.
You're miraculously alive, and he's not immediately. Then he's talking to you like. You know, he's all like, we thought you were dead because I killed you. And like, wouldn't he be like, you know, I killed you because I killed you. Right. Like, even if you survived and I didn't kill you, like, you would still know it was me because I like went in there and I killed you.
I mean, I think even in isolation, just the one idea of them having someone look exactly like someone else.
If
without
it were a brilliant story, you'd forgive it. My point is it's annoying, but if it was the basis of a really interesting, clever story or really funny or really cool, then you might be like, okay,
it's just a bunch of confusing stuff.
I mean,
strung together.
I'm not going to say like, no, I wouldn't because I'm not going to like, you know, kick out that possibility, but it would have to be a really fucking good story. I can't think of what kind of good story would have me not sitting there being like, why is nobody talking about the fact that they look alike? Now, I'm okay with the, you know, oh, great, like you just said, my great-grandparents, we look exactly like, sure, who gives a fuck? But like, that's actually more done just for like, that's actually less done for in-story reasons and more just done so the audience can like relate to him more or use the same actor to like whatever.
Yeah.
But this is actually in-universe, they're the same person. Like you said, Patrick, passes facial recognition, core.
That was part of like what annoyed me as opposed to...
The Vulcans all kind of look the same anyway.
Yeah. Well, but Jesse's racist. He's just against Vulcans.
The Klingons have honor. You... have none.
I could see on the page that sounded like a cool line, and I think I really enjoy what the actors are doing here. Like Rebecca Romijn is trying very hard.
It's good they gave Una an episode, but I wish they gave her a better episode.
Yeah, I agree. I think it was a bit of a struggle for everybody involved. Even some of the stuff like the editing seemed kind of. Off. Just, any suspense was removed by how they were editing it. And again, it wasn't edited like a noir.
And the whole time, I didn't really know what it was. There was a mystery, but I didn't really know what the mystery was until after they described it.
Well, because you needed a proximity detonator, which of course would, Dan, of course, that would change everything if you had a proximity detonator.
Like, yeah, there was this whole business going on with, like, you know, this traitor who, like, chewed on their version of a cyanide pill or whatever. And it's like, who is this person? Mm. And it's like, and she's like talking to Una. It's like, see, I did the thing. I'm good. I'm like, oh, I guess like Una's like, she's like, her and Una are both part of the resistance, and she's just speaking secret talk to the resistance. It's just like, the mystery is like, there was no mystery in the way they intended for there to be a mystery. The mystery is like, why do I care? What the fuck are you really moving towards? But there isn't like a mystery in my mind. I was never like, oh, how are they going to do this? Or what's going to happen next? It was just kind of like, okay, this is happening now. Okay, but, I guess this person is this. I guess this person is supposed to do this here.
Jesse, you were.
Well, they did a better mystery in that episode with it was like a holodeck or something. But like, it was like Hollywood.
Holograms?
Yeah, oh, yes.
Like that was like a much better mystery episode. Yeah. And, you know.
Because there was no destination.
This was
here.
All a bunch of strung together confusion of.
And I we're watching it the second time.
What's going on?
I was like, oh, maybe going on. Maybe what? I'll get it more the second time. No, I did not. Now,
I just want to say, I kept putting it on over and over again, and sort of kept it on in the background, like over and over, hoping that I'd soak in more information.
You tortured yourself. You're like, I can't sit through this. It's driving me nuts. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put it on it's fucking like, loop.
Oh, they're going to go to the shuttle. Oh, they're not going to the shuttle. Oh, now they're going to the shuttle again. Okay. What are they trying to do?
Shuttlefly is like real close to the Klingons, but they don't get seen.
Are they trying to save the planet? Are they trying to escape from the planet? What are they? Anyway, sorry, you were saying
his
something.
Weird I was shit saying, back on the Enterprise.
We got to take a break. So
yes, we do.
Let's take a break, and then when we get back, maybe we'll start with Dan's list of Goofy Spock business.
Yeah.
And then talk about some Spock business. Some other stuff in this wacky episode of Star Trek.
Wacky.
We will be right back.
We can't leave. Not yet. Clearly, I'm not.
You picked a good time to come back.
We did. Yeah. We hope all those commercials for cryptocurrency and satellite drones and
like shopping for pants.
Yeah, the shopping. Do you hate shopping for pants?
Never waver.
Hopefully, all those commercials you just had to hear
makes it worth
it. Long break.
It's going to be worth it. What we're going to give to you.
I mean, it'll be worth it.
We're
going
to somehow have to produce content based upon this confusing and boring episode.
Yeah.
Of Star Trek.
Honestly, sometimes that's easier. I'm worried we'll run out of time, but I'm trying to be very good about not going on a super extensive lecture about film noir because it's silly.
Yes.
But regardless, whatever happens, that's not happening yet because we are going to start out this section of the show with Dan's list of,
Silly Spocks.
Silly
Spock-em-ups.
Silly Spock-em-ups.
Spocko.
Spocko.
Compassion is unacceptable.
Spocko.
What a brilliant line reading. You know, they've really done a good job with this George. What's his name? Is it George Kirk? He's not. Yeah, is he George? Why am I forgetting?
Sam Kirk.
Sam Kirk. He's not George. I know George is the dad. Why did I forget? Of course it's Sam Kirk.
Yeah. George Kirk.
George Kirk. Kirking out.
So I thought that.
Is this your list?
Yes.
Okay.
So Spock, the question is why was Spock being so skeptical of Lon's like ideas for what was going on? Spock is supposed to be the
The B story that I keep forgetting actually
that did seem kind of weird that was happening. I wasn't sure what was happening.
So Spock is supposed to be the one who takes an idea and no matter how unlikely it may seem, he takes it to its logistical end, right? He's the one who's all about saying like you know, the solution no matter how improbable. What was that whole thing? It's like you take out all the dumb
Sherlock,
shit.
Sherlock Holmes.
You take out all the dumb shit and what's left over, how improbable. Yeah, but like he's
exactly. No, you Arthur Conan Doyle phrased it pretty much exactly that. He's like, Sherlock Holmes was all like, look, when you take out all the other dumb shit that when you go over all the dumb shit, if there's any dumb shit left over, that's got to be the shit.
Yeah, no matter how stupid it is.
No matter how fucking stupid it is.
You have to scrape up the shit.
I'm not saying that Spock, of course I'm not saying Spock coined that, but I'm saying like he often like follows that sort of line of philosophy
he knows
and thought.
What's up.
So he's the guy you go to with some outlandish idea because you know he'll consider all the angles and take every possibility seriously. Like you go up to him, Kirk will go up to him and be like, hey, Spock, there's poopy in the sky. He's like, huh, fascinating. You know, like, and he'll start thinking about it, you know.
And he was always just like,
Is this item number one or is this an overview? This is a preface to all the items. Got it. Just clarifying. I didn't hear you say number one. I'm just clarifying.
So here...
Why are you laughing? Why are you smiling?
I'm just like...
You're just like... Are you frustrated?
He's trying not to hit you.
Yeah, right. Well,
that's why I sit all the way over here.
If I'm not going to cry, I'll smile.
Jesse's like in range of Dan's fury.
That's why I'm watching it.
Just trying to get there. Instead of all that, he's like, nah, he probably is this. He probably got jostled. No, probably just did a lazy job. Why is he so dismissive the whole time?
It's weird.
Why is he so reluctant to consider possibilities? That is not within the character of Spock. So here, starting at number one, now we start at number one.
Yes.
Lon goes, they get the probe back, and she's like, okay, let's just make sure this isn't a Trojan horse. And he goes like... He hasn't even been out there for 160 hours, so it's not going to be a Trojan horse. And so that's number one. He's like being immediately skeptical. 160 hours? That is several days.
Ooh, yeah. But wasn't that...
Isn't the conclusion of the story that it was that the ship was scanned last month? So how long, like, did he say 160 hours or did he say, like, there was a disconnect between what he was saying to her, I think, and then at the end... Remember, this whole story resolves with Chapel revealing, like, oh, I heard that this ship last month, she was like, a month and a half ago, this ship was scanned by this probe.
Look,
so,
I'm not saying that she was right on every point. I'm saying that she...
No. I'm just curious because I didn't recognize before that there was a disconnect, you know? So I apologize. I did not mean to interrupt your list, but it jumped out at me that might be another confusing thing about this episode.
It says the Yang crossed into Klingon territory earlier this month, responding to a distress call.
Earlier this month, okay.
Unsanctioned, and the Angelo recorded it. So
now, how long was the what did Spock say? I want to get clarification on that. The 160 hours, because that's that would be hard to square with like earlier this month, because wouldn't that just be like earlier this week?
That would be like 6 or 7 days ago or something.
Oh no, you said 6, 7.
Ooh,
I don't want to draw any attention to it. I've made
too late.
You know the whole 6, 7. Oh yeah, Dan doesn't have kids, but you're aware of like stupid memes and stuff, right?
The kids. I have no idea what the kids do now.
Oh, really. you're fucking lucky.
You don't know about 6, 7
because some of that shit is so dumb. Like, I know I'm an old fuddy duddy now, but like, you know, the 6, 7 stuff, they're laughing at us.
That's not like why was 6 afraid of 7 because 7, 8, 9?
No, that's clever. There's a plot there. There's a structure. There's a story. More story, perhaps even than this episode of Star Trek. The 6, 7 meme is just you do this and say 6, 7, and it's an absurdity. It's meant to mean
right,
nothing.
It's
something
absurd,
kids say to say to people, and then like the parents get all mad because they don't.
Is this
understand
like Skibidi,
it?
Where it's like it was just a bunch of nonsense?
Yeah, it's the
is this
kids
based
are all
on some
that.
TikTok thing?
No, this is
because Skibidi was just some dumb character said shit. Does 6, 7 came from somewhere?
Jesse, can you confirm? Because Jesse's our resident history person. My understanding is that similar things happened towards the end of the Roman Empire. And of the Greek Empire, like this, like kids just started doing stupid abstract memes, and then the societies collapsed. I don't think it's collapsed because of the kids. I think it was a sign that society was about to collapse because the kids had evolved into complete, utter, like complete non sequitur humor.
Traitors deserve no glory.
Yes, that's right. Alrighty, thanks. Sorry about that, Dan.
Yeah, it's better than people.
Excellent. First point. Silly.
Okay. So yes, it's true that it didn't happen within the last 160 hours. Mm. But that, first of all, that doesn't mean it couldn't have happened. Second of all, like she's looking for clues here. Yeah.
From her perspective, she's being a security officer.
She's looking for clues, and Spock immediately dismisses it. He's like, no, I hadn't even been out there long enough to do that. And she's like, yeah, it's 160 hours is plenty of time.
And he's aware that she is currently suffering some psychological distress over how much she can trust her mind after certain tragedies.
But that's weird too, because like they haven't. That was like several episodes ago.
Well, again, I get it. Like, it's cool that they mention ongoing trauma, but it's like agreeing with Dan. Like, why was he so quickly dismissive? Because I could see Spock being like, I don't know, but Right. I trust you.
Exactly.
You're an officer who is good at her job.
Right.
So I'm going to, even though it seems like it's not right, I'm going to take those extra steps. I'm not going to just stand here and think about it and be like, no, no, I didn't even look. He didn't even look at a computer or anything. It just, his mind, he was like, I don't think that.
This is a show where an officer will come up and be like, I've just lived 10 lives in the past 2 seconds.
Like, dude, me too.
Yeah, right. That's crazy.
Were you in hell or heaven?
No, the other person will like have not have experienced it, and they'll be like, "Oh, really? You just experienced 10 lives? Interesting.
Let's talk about it. After work, at the bar.
Yeah. So, anyways, so number two, then she's like, "Yeah, this is." She goes, "That's long enough for
sabotage."
Sabotage.
She goes, "That's long enough for sabotage," and then he goes, "That's an unnecessary leap. Why? Why is that an unnecessary leap?
Yeah.
Why not be cautious?" What reason is there not to at least take a second to be like, this is a fellow officer. They have this suggestion. Why is he putting so much effort into like not like following this thread?
And it's an unusual and acute security situation. It's the whole Klingon neutral zone.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Unless he knows.
It's unusual.
And like, what does this cost to like study this? Like, that's a job.
And the thing is because I'm sure people will think about this or even write in about this. Absolutely, Spock would often play devil's advocate and be like, I don't know, or this, that, or the other thing. But there would be a process. And even if he, because Spock, by the way,
was constructive somehow.
Well, exactly. And Spock often on TOS and other times turned out to be wrong. He used logic. That was one of the gags, was that logic does not always get you to where you need to be, right? If you don't have the right facts and stuff like that, that was part of the gag.
Oh.
But that, again, was always a multi-step process that always involved Spock double checking and being like, let's consider all the angles. And that's why I think you're stupid, because I've considered all the angles carefully and I conclude you're stupid. And then if it turns out he's wrong, he'll just be like, curious indeed, or something.
Right. Fascinating.
Yes. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, okay, and so they've done that. So now they're moving on with some other stuff, and Lon's looking around, and she sees this data chip is kind of dislodged from the mechanism. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, look, this shit's all fucked up and dislodged.
That's
without bothering to look into it, Spock immediately says, perhaps it shifted during transportation. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, but maybe it didn't. And then, that's three, four follows from three. Then she goes, oh yeah, well look, there's data missing from the fucking chip. It's
data's
compromised.
Data's missing from the data chip.
And then Spock says, well, maintenance could have just done a shit job replacing it.
Yeah.
It's like,
that was actually the point where I was like, okay, the previous ones, I could ruefully understand that they're just, it's a timing issue. It's just, they're trying to move that story along. Okay. But it was when he was like, I don't know, maybe this is like the stupid dumb shit that like carried it. I was like, you're seeking excuses.
Yes.
To not look.
You're seeking excuses because you should assume that, first of all, you should assume that the people you're working with did their job correctly. Mm-hmm. You should not do something because you assume they fucked it up.
And by the way, even if you totally disagree, presuming it doesn't use hilarious, stupid amounts of resources or anything, why not let your officer proceed?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, maybe he knows.
You can even be like,
up.
I don't think it's right, but hey, if it keeps her happy.
And here's the thing, and three and four are not in isolation. One, it's dislodged. Mm. Two, data is missing.
Yes.
Those are two different things that fit into each other that should make us make a suggestion that this is a possibility. Mm-hmm. But Spock is so intent on not doing his fucking job. I don't know if he's lazy or if he's just like got some kind of bitterness towards Lon because of because Lon's been so angry lately that maybe
he's
Spock
like,
feels
he's just had enough.
Maybe he's like feels put upon by her, so he's just being an asshole.
It almost seems like that. Clearly, that's not. They weren't doing that. But
some
you
kind
were
of passive aggressive shit.
Like, are we supposed to understand now that Spock is being? It's Spock that's being weird, not Lon, because we understand Lon's position. Where, of course, when you start to doubt your own decision making, that and especially when your whole fucking life revolves around that specific duty. That was a no duty, I'm sure.
That was a duty.
No, that was a no duty.
Chief O'Brien.
That was a duty.
But that's an interesting story. They didn't do much with it, and then all the Spock stuff was extra distracting with that. All right. What was that? That was three
four.
And four.
So now we're on five.
Number five.
Five,
so five is alive. Number five is alive.
She goes to Scotty. At first, actually, she goes to Asha.
Yes.
Asha.
Who's good at, Vulcans have elf ears, so they're good at, like, hearing some signals? I wasn't clear 100%.
Flattery is a transparent and antiquated method of coercion.
Yeah.
Transmissions?
What it was is...
I mean, she's a communications person, so I get
She says, I'm currently assisting her... Uhura mentioned you have an especially gifted ear for transmissions.
I think that's...
Is that a racist?
I don't know. She said ear. I don't know. Maybe if it was like...
I think...
Like with Ferengi, it's almost not because they're all like like about their ears.
Yeah, they are.
But and hearing stuff, Vulcans aren't like, oh, I'm really good at like hearing stuff.
In fact, like it's, I'm better at everything. People like Bones are always like, you pointy eared, pointy ear person.
Yeah. Well, that's because as we know,
green blooded pointy.
We know from TAS when given his ultimate fantasy,
yes,
Bones imagines that he owns a southern plantation.
We have a situation.
Well, I don't know if you've noticed, Lieutenant, but things around here aren't quite normal.
Yeah.
So through Asha, mm-hmm. I keep wanting to say Ashta for some reason. Asha.
This is number five, right?
This is number five, still alive. Mm. She goes to Scotty, and I feel like, first of all, as a side note, I feel like there's some flirt vibes going on between Scotty and Ortegas, because she's all like, Scotty's like, Pike thought my idea was good. And she goes, what, are you going to tell him about your lunch too? And he's like, I had a Cuban sandwich. I like mustard. And she's like, I had a Cuban sandwich too. So I think there's some kind
of... Right, he's I really like mustard.
Yeah, that's not the thing. I mean, mustard is like one of the qualities of a Cuban sandwich, but to me...
Isn't it like ham?
Ham and pickle. And the flatbread.
It's pork. It's pork.
Yes,
it's
pork.
Yeah. It's not... ham is pork, but like...
You're right. It's not more ham.
You would put mustard in there with
You put mustard pickle. In there, but to me, that's not the main defining flavor. Yeah.
It's really all together. It's the mustard, the pickle, the pork, and the specific type of flatbread that is grilled.
And
grilled
I guess you can customize it on the replicator.
I worked at a restaurant that didn't use mustard. They used a remoulade, and it was actually really
fancy guy. If I worked at a restaurant with remoulade.
I know. I say remoulade, it automatically means it's fancy.
You worked at an American restaurant.
What planet do you come from? I come from planet remoulade.
I come from an American restaurant.
This is kind of an inside joke because I'm the most ridiculous when it comes to like...
Well, what do you want me to call it? Mustard and stuff. It's called remoulade.
No, of course.
What it's called.
No, if you hadn't called it remoulade, I would have scolded you off air.
The point is...
It was unfair of me to tease you.
The point is I liked it better because the mustard...
I call it fancy relish.
I like yellow mustard, but when it comes to a Cuban, sometimes it cuts a little too hard. It cuts a little too deep for me. The remoulade makes it smoother.
I'm into that. I like modified versions of things that taste better.
Now, I know some people might be like, but it's not a Cuban.
I'm not that into a street Philly cheesesteak. I like some at restaurants that are like a little classier. Got nothing against the street version. I'm just, you know, I'm just not that into like a bunch of beef.
I mean, I know that like people will be like, you know, that's not a real...
Whatever.
What's the sandwich with
crab cake?
No, with the slaw. The sauerkraut.
Thousand
Island.
Yep, that's right. That's a delicious sandwich.
That's the cabaga.
Yeah, it's the cabaga.
Reuben,
thank you.
It's a Reuben.
I know. Like, I mean, I know. I can understand someone being like, it's missing ingredient. You can be like, that's not a real Reuben.
Right.
But do people get that passionate about Cubans? If it doesn't have yellow mustard, are people like, that's not a real Cuban?
Or that's a Cuban vegan sandwich. A vegan Cuban.
Some people I do think get that animated about Cubans in the people. But maybe the sandwich.
Not that
people.
Oh, you know what I mean.
It was like Afghan versus Afghani.
I'm so bored. I'm just as bored as I was watching
bored,
this episode.
Must be annoying.
Titbits. All right.
Number five. So she's talking to Scotty, and he thinks there's some like static going on, and he thinks that the static might mean someone encrypted a transmission.
How y'all doing?
He encrypted a transmission. She did because Asha detected some kind of signal from Scotty's place. Okay, he detected a transmission under this relay. And so she thinks it was someone on the Enterprise, right? So now he's like, so you got Scotty saying he sees an encrypted transmission that he thinks is there. So now her hypothesis is supported, not proven, but has some support from a third party, aka Scotty.
There's an aberration discovered in the information.
And I would like to note that it wasn't until the very end of this whole process at step seven, I'm going to jump ahead real quick, where Spock says... brings up, he said, you said you've been feeling paranoid lately, as if to say, like, you can't trust your own mind because you're paranoid. It's supported by Scotty. Yes. It's not paranoia if you got someone else like sort of on your side. Yep. Maybe he's not saying exactly what she's saying, but he's providing. It's like, look, there is something going on here.
Something different than expected.
Yeah,
and doesn't mean it's whatever, but it's different than expected.
So, evidence.
So she drew attention to it. He didn't notice it on his own. She drew attention to it.
And so with this information, she goes to Spock, and then Spock, after all this, he goes, well, maybe it doesn't represent that there's something. It represents the absence of something, like the sound of space, which is just, his way of politely saying that she's imagining things. It's like,
maybe it's just
the sound of nothing at all in your dumbass brain, you know, like.
I mean, at this point, you could argue it's gaslighting.
Yes.
In the proper sense of the term, somebody purposefully making his partner think she's going crazy. Right.
It's like, here's this thing. He's like, that thing you hear, what if it's nothing at all and it's in your head?
I briefly, at that point, step seven, I know we haven't gone over step six yet, but at step seven is when I briefly thought, oh, are we supposed to understand that Spock did something shady? And like this whole time he's been trying to throw her off the track?
That would have made sense.
I really was like, oh, that must be the case. But no, it turned out that was not indeed the case.
Right. So he doesn't have to believe something is there, but now there are two independent sources with their own reasons for thinking something might be going on here. Yeah. Why the fuck is Spock ignoring it as if it's all bullshit? Why doesn't he even entertain it for a second and look into it? Then
maybe he's got a headache.
He's got a Spock ache. That's not
Spocko.
A Vulcan ache. Do Vulcans get Vulcan eggs?
Spocko.
Do they make Vulcan eggs?
Vulcan eggs.
Yeah, they lay eggs. Green leathery lizard eggs.
Lay them eggs.
So then is it number six, as if he wasn't being a dick enough, she goes, you don't believe me, do you? To which he says, and I fucking hate this, he says, I believe that your instincts are telling you that there is something.
Which is, by the way, there's nothing wrong with that statement. As a manager, you can be like, and you have good instincts, usually. Like, that's not what he means, but, like, the thing is the words themselves are not necessarily wrong. It's the way Spock is presenting them as, hey, I believe you believe it.
That's what I'm saying.
I believe
right.
you believe it.
That's kind of like, it's a cousin to saying when someone's angry about something and your way of apologizing is to say, I'm sorry you feel that way. Yeah. That's not an apology. Yeah. I'm sorry you feel that way basically says, I'm not going to take any responsibility for you feeling this way, but I'd like you to know that it displeases me to know that you are unhappy. Yeah. It's like, well, thanks for basically nothing, but thanks for letting me know that you don't wish me ill will. That's not an apology. That's not an admission of anything. That's not doing anything to like better the situation. You're just saying, oh, you know, I hope you're not miserable right now.
Hey, Dan,
I hope you're not miserable right now.
Real quick, I just, in your exuberance, you kind of dislodged your little windsock thing here on the microphone. Could you just pop it down a little bit? There you go. Excellent, Anya. Just eat that mic.
Okay.
Just talk right into the mic like this. Hey, Dan, give it a try. Just see what happens if you don't.
So, right now, Spock is coming off as a grade A piece of shit in this episode, and not in a way that I feel is in line with his character.
By the way,
absolutely.
Here's just a counterexample, right? If somebody who you know very well is suddenly acting strange and has had some incident, and they're saying, like, I can see, like, demons and fairies floating around you, that might be the time you can say, like, look, I believe that you believe there's demons and fairies floating around me, but you also got hit on the head and drank a bunch of like sewer water, so it could
just
be
crazy. I mean,
could be something else is going on, but Laan is not saying anything that's remotely crazy. She's just saying we're next to Klingon space and spying on the Klingons.
And I see
and
these
maybe
things.
They did something.
And there's these pieces.
Yes.
There's these pieces of evidence of evidence.
Sorry.
There are these pieces of non-normal.
We should watch that episode again.
There are these pieces of non-normal, out of place things going on. I'm making these connections. Can you just entertain it for a fucking second instead of spending all? Because it does sound personal at this point.
I think I know why Dan is identifying particularly with Laan here, because Jesse and I have been known sometimes to inadvertently disrupt Dan's laying out of his argument. And I think that's part of what Spock is doing to Laan, is he's dismissing it from the beginning.
I feel really bad right now.
I don't know where you're getting that from. I think you guys are trying to put me at a lower level than you. I think that's what you're doing.
Yeah, no, that is exactly what I'm trying to do.
You're doing a conversational tactic to try to raise yourself above me by pushing me down.
Not to raise
you. You're trying to make me seem inferior or feeble.
I'm not trying to raise Jesse and I above you. I'm just sort of like solidifying that fact.
Yeah, you're trying to feebleize me.
I'm totally feebleizing you. I feebleize your ass.
Wither.
It's just it's just Spock is being shitty, that's all. He goes like you have been feeling paranoid lately, but to which I said Scotty already has some, you know, third party
evidence
going on. So it was annoying because it was really out of character for Spock. That's it. Like if it was another character, sure, whatever. But this is Spock.
This is what, you know.
I didn't know what I was looking at. It was so strange.
We talked about, you know, it's well known, like Voyager was sometimes guilty of this, where they're like, let's just have the character act like we need them to act to tell the story we want to tell.
Right.
Which, by the way, is not, it's a tactic. I don't prefer that. I prefer the reverse, where the stories emerge from what the characters would do, which is something Deep Space Nine did more. But it is also forgivable if the story you tell is interesting. And this B story, again, I keep forgetting it happened, partly because I don't know
go anywhere.
I don't know exactly what the point was, other than to explore that La'an was like, doubting herself. And I guess at the end of the episode, she realizes I'm not doubting myself, and also I'm a good friend.
She did that trope where she was talking to Pike, and she's like, Pike, I have something to tell you, and he's like, what's that? And she's just like, did you know Scotty and Ortegas are buddies? The whole like gonna tell him something serious, but then switch. Yeah. But Pike saw right through that.
I like this. Yeah. Pike was like, that's weird. Line totally just lied to my ass.
Yeah, right. The only.
Was there anything after seven?
No. I was going to say, you were talking about the point of this story, and the point of this story, I don't know either, but there's one parallel between this story and the A story. Mm-hmm. There was one line in the A plot where Una says, we all know Starfleet is not always right, and I refuse to let protocol tell me I can't help innocent people just because they had the bad luck to fall on the wrong side of the demarcation line. Yeah. Similarly, Chapel says to Lon, she says, if that data fell into the wrong hands, even Starfleet hands, careers would be lost or worse. ... A little later, she says, these are good people. They don't deserve to be punished just because they broke the rules to help. These are both two instances of characters either defending or saying like, it's not their fault that this was this way. We should help people regardless. Whereas Una says, I won't let protocol prevent me from helping people. And Chapel's like, the rules of Starfleet shouldn't punish medical ship from helping people.
Yes. Star Trek.
Unlike that time, Picard was perfectly happy to let a whole bunch of people die because of the Prime Directive. I don't think that's what the Prime Directive means. But which, by the way, Prime Directive, they obviously didn't bring it up here, partially because it didn't apply. They knew this planet knew of spacefaring people. We don't know if they were spacefaring or not, but they clearly knew about the Klingons and et cetera, et cetera. People were flying away. They had spaceships to escape in, right? So it was another peculiar.
But it was a weird B plot because, like I said, that's the only parallel I could draw. But it didn't. But that was completely unrelated to the whole Spock and Lon journey.
I also look.
Like, is it supposed to, like, is a later episode going to come back to this to show
I don't know. I have in my notes that this is one of those episodes where it, like, has illusory character development, but, like, it doesn't seem like anything actually happens or that they actually say anything, and it's muddled and confused a little bit, and with the B plot, Chapel is all, like, whatever and try to like it's cool that she did that. I didn't entirely buy the idea that Starfleet would be like mad at a ship for crossing the line to give some medical aid, or maybe a little mad. Like, I don't know if they're just like firing everybody or firing the captains. I don't know. Like, it's just, it seems like in Star Trek, like Enterprise, TOS, like definitely TNG, they would like cross those lines or make those decisions because they're out and about, you know, they're all far away. That's the idea. Yeah. Now, I know in Strange New Worlds, they're on a 5-year mission. They're super far away, but they're also like right next to Earth frequently, or the Admiral is like right next to them and is able to like show up and hang out on the ship.
Lieutenant.
So who knows what the distances are, but it wasn't a B story.
Yeah. So kind of pointless.
That was a good list.
It was a list.
It was a good
list.
It was
an excellent list.
It was a list. It was a list.
Now we are.
That's a tactic called sonic vigilance.
We're going to talk about a lot more when we get back.
Information is valuable, but brutality more so.
We're going to go on a break in a second, but a couple quick things. I at the beginning, and I don't know, I feel annoyed that this annoyed me, but when Una was talking about, you know, there's a risk we could restart a very cold war. I didn't like that phrase.
That very cold war.
Because I think that
it didn't make a lot of sense.
I think that phrase means the opposite of like what she intended.
Exactly.
Like a very cold war would imply like it's like really not a problem, right? Like, because the whole point of the cold war is like, yeah, it's like, oh, at any moment, whatever, but like mostly
you're just fighting proxy wars.
Yeah, exactly. Like nothing's happening. So like a very cold war would be like even more chill. Like, I'm not saying like we grew up under a nuclear apocalypse or whatever. Like,
yeah, the Cold War.
It was pretty chill. And they're like, Una's like, this is a more, even more chill.
It was more chill than it was.
When
now.
I think she meant like, no, it's like a tinderbox. It's like, you know, like we see in TOS, you know, before the Organians pop in and Errand of Mercy and all that, and where they stop the Federation and the Klingons from fighting, they just tell them, no, you don't get to fight.
You can't do that.
We're Organians. Anyway, I just wanted to make that comment. Now, we'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll do some, where the hell have I heard that before? We'll talk about core. We'll talk about film noir. We'll talk about some other stuff. Sound good? All righty. Be right back.
Now, excuse me. I must go brief, my men.
Is that a sexy line? What the fuck was that? And we're back.
So far, all's quiet on the ground. Slow and steady, Miyota. This is an adjustment for all of us.
So, what was the deal? There was some kind of when she was talking to that person who I guess they were calling some kind of traitor, the one who like ate the pill. She was like, "If they use their machine on me, it will be over for all of us."
Core's mind reading machine.
But what were they? But
because they get all her secrets, that's why she killed herself.
But there was some kind of like, what frequency they were talking about, like a frequency or something.
Maybe it's the frequency needed to detonate the thing. At the top of the episode, Dan, they were not clear about what the actual plan was.
I can't remember the frequency, because the frequency, I guess, had to do with like the EMP device or something like that.
Look, I paid attention especially to that on the second watch, and it still didn't make sense to me. And I have no doubt, and please do not hesitate, if you out there listening can piece this together for us, really, seriously, not a joke, not sarcastic, if you can write us at feedback@discussstartrek.com, I'd love an outline of what was supposed to happen. I can believe that it's in the episode, but I watched it twice and was paying attention, and I still, like, it still didn't quite line up. It almost like there were some scenes missing or something.
Because for some reason, she mentioned the frequency, which was
34.6 megahertz.
21 gigawatts.
I thought you were gonna do that though. What's the frequency, Kenneth?
Oh, no.
Business. 34.6 megahertz.
1.21 gigawatts. 1.21 gigawatts.
What was I thinking, Einstein?
Plutonium.
Or Copernicus.
All we need is a little plutonium.
I'm sure plutonium is available in every corner store in 1985, but here in 1955, it's a little hard to come by, or set words to that effect.
What the hell is a gigawatt?
Into the flux capacitor.
Great Scott! Talk about MacGuffins, like the flux capacitor.
Back to the future!
Seriously, the flux capacitor is one of the most ingenious literary devices ever devised.
Because it's what makes time travel possible.
It makes time travel possible!
Yeah, right. All right. All you need to know.
Let's quickly dispense with our weekly game of Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before? And this is an audience engagement game.
No.
You are the audience, but that's not the clip, by the way. Dan does
clearly
this.
I'm not.
I always think about this when editing, that this is a clip-related game where I'm
going to... What happened here?
I'm going to play a clip, whereas Dan usually plays the clip, and he's playing a bunch of clips right now.
This is not your fight.
The clip I'm going to play is the one you are meant to guess where it's from, which...
Yeah, it's your first time, isn't it?
He often plays the most clips, like, leading up to your clip.
I've noticed that, Jesse, particularly during editing, when I've been like, when do I get to play this clip?
You are one of my finest subordinates.
When the hell do I get to play this clip?
You're trying to put me below you! You're trying to put me below you, Dan!
fate was cruel not making you a Klingon.
But it's your first time, isn't it?
I want to talk about Kor in a moment.
You sound like Christine.
So I will play last week's clip. And what has happened was last week I played a clip. And in the intervening time, people sent in guesses. And I will read some of those guesses. And we will reveal if there is a winner. Then we will play twice. We will play the clip for next week, and that is where you, if you haven't played previously, will have the opportunity to send in your guesses to feedback@itsgotstartrek.com or at @itsgotstartrek on DM us on some of the social media.
Lugubrious.
Lugubrious. You like that word?
Lugubrious.
Yeah. Who said that? Was that said in this episode?
I'm feeling lugubrious. Can't you tell?
I can tell.
Am I missing something, Dan?
Can you tell I'm feeling lugubrious tonight?
Is that a word you looked up in the thesaurus?
I'm fine.
I am just feeling absolutely lugubrious this evening.
And I don't actually mind this because, when I'm editing the episode, any shame I might feel early on where I'm like, oh, you know what? I did really kind of walked on Dan's joke there. I really got to calm down a little bit. It all goes away once it comes to this section where I'm like,
misguided.
So lugubrious.
Okay.
So lugubrious.
All right.
Can't you tell? By my tone of voice, how lugubrious I'm feeling?
Yes. Yes, we can. Like, Jesse literally can't handle it.
I don't know why that word was just in my head.
Okay. Great.
I know what it means.
I know you know what it means.
It's like a small, round pot that you use for cooking snakes.
And it's all greasy. Yes. It's like a greasy, slimy pot. It's greasy on the outside. It's dry snakes on the inside, greasy, slimy outside.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we've all got one of those in our kitchen. We don't use it much.
It's covered with lagoob.
It's covered with lagoob.
Exactly. It's totally lugubrious.
The work you do feigns nobility, but it is misguided.
You know, he just described this episode. Yeah. He described the plot of this episode.
Plot.
Yeah. Man, it's a great actor. But anyway, we'll talk about it in a second. All right. So, where the hell have I heard that before? So, last week we played the following sound for people to guess. And now Dan is doing his good Montessori school. I'm asking him to do his Montessori school thing where you put your hands on your lap so we know you're not going
to... You never went to Montessori school.
I know I didn't, but last week we had this discussion.
I never talked about Montessori school, hands and lap. That's something you invented.
Because we don't know what goes on in the Montessori school. Jesse and I didn't go to Montessori school, so it's a weird thing for us.
So if you don't know, why are you asserting that we do certain things in Montessori school that we don't?
We're just guessing.
Okay, but tell us you don't do that. But you just said, now do the thing we discussed about what they do in Montessori school where you put your hands in your lap. Right. Oh, I'm just guessing.
All right. Now, it does not...
There's a dissonance going on between what you're saying and what you claim to know.
I understand and appreciate that. Now you've explained that apparently this was not a Montessori school thing. We can remove the Montessori school thing from it.
I told you, in Montessori school, you don't do work. You complete your requirements. Yes.
And as I said last week, that's an extremely upsetting thing. No, nothing against Montessori school. It turns out... Really excellent people like you and that kid Bronco.
Lots of people Bronco. We know.
Lots of people we know went to Montessori school, and whatever trauma they endured, maybe probably
they
helped them.
Seem to be
never waver.
Seem to be okay with it.
All right, so
Mort,
I would like to play last week's clip, and I'm going to give some time since the last time Dan.
Where the hell have I heard that before? Yeah. I heard it last week.
All right, so here's last week's clip.
Most have one head.
I really like that clip.
Jesse, you were playing When the Hell Was I? Did I hear that before? Where are you? You mean when are you?
So,
Jesse, they did that a few episodes back.
You caught me there.
Jesse or Dan, I'd like to give you an opportunity to guess or at least provide as much
info. Can you play it again? Because I wasn't listening.
All right, here you go. This is a little out of order. Normally, we only play last week's episode once to refresh people's memories, but I will, as a favor to you, Dan.
Thanks.
Based on our long friendship and how many favors I owe you, I will play this clip a second time. Then we'll call it all even.
Mm. Most have one head.
I don't know. That clip's not as good as the Geordi saying... If you like ammonia tornadoes.
Yeah. If you like ammonia. Why? I love ammonia tornadoes.
Sounds like Phlox.
Oh, it is Phlox. It has something to do with like one of his animals.
You say animal. One of Phlox's animals.
Animals.
Jesse says Phlox.
Or is he referring to some other animal?
Hmm.
I can't remember what he's referring to.
Was that Animal Man?
Mm, this is where I should do what Dan does and have the fuller clip to play afterwards for the context. I didn't think of that.
Context is queen.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You. You go. Well, you're not a short king. You're kind of. You're kind of like a regular tallish, like on the taller side king. You know.
The taller side king.
You sound like Christine.
You know the term short king, right?
I don't want no short king, man.
No, no, that's a short dick man. Oh. I think many people are into short kings because
what happened here?
Short kings frequently do not, contrary to popular belief, have short dicks. Some of them do.
But are there more questions?
No. You have successfully and sneakily distracted me. Good job.
Did I pass?
Good job. So, yes.
Did I do the right thing?
Yes, it is. I'm going to assume that you understand it's Enterprise, of course. Star Trek Enterprise. It is the character of Phlox. But no episode guesses from you. That's fine. We had a number of guesses. A number of folks
said
Phlox on Enterprise. So congratulations to all of you.
I said it had to do with animals.
Yes, everybody got it. You did provide a little extra, and you're right. You're leading in the right direction there. Great to all the people who got Enterprise and Phlox. Good for you. But we have a couple of guesses to read here. One is from our old buddy Emmanuel, who says, "Ahoy, Crosby, Stills, and Dan."
Oh,
hi.
Hey, I get my own name.
You do.
Neat.
I do believe this week's Who I Met Your Mother's sound was Dr. Phlox talking about a Klingon who had one of his penises bitten off.
Hence,
he only has one head.
These are our messages.
It might be the ayahuasca my mother tried just before she got pregnant with me talking, but I think we should all meet up in Tasmania. Just turn left at Neil the Seal, and you're at Isaac's place. Hi, Isaac. Now, for a little explanation.
Do they both live in Tasmania?
Thanks, Agamemnon.
No, Emmanuel lives on mainland Australia.
Oh, okay.
Whereas Isaac.
I think I asked that already.
Isaac from the Trek 365 podcast lives on Tasmania.
Yeah.
Jesse, Dan, and I, if the opportunity arises, would very much like to meet up in Australia and or Tasmania. I think Tasmania would probably be the first choice because it sounds kind of rad to go to Tasmania.
Yeah. Rad and bad to go to Tasmania.
Yeah. Seems like a cool place. So good job, Emmanuel. Like a lot of others, you got it partially right.
Thanks, Agamemnon.
It was Phlox.
Yes.
And here's a guess from frequent contributor, Amy. And Amy says,
Hi.
Definitely from Enterprise, definitely Dr. Phlox, probably from season 2, episode 5, A Night in Sickbay. I'm such an idiot. Sickbay. Fuffering fuckertash.
I don't get it.
I thought I thought putty tat. Amy, as is so often the case.
Usually.
You hit the nail right
on the
head.
Thanks, Agamemnon.
It was A Night in Sickbay, and that is when Archer's dog is very upsettingly floating in like a what is Star Trek's version of a Bacta tank, but like in Star Wars is it called a Bacta tank? Do I have that right?
Yes.
Yeah, so like when Luke or somebody's in a Bacta tank, you're like, oh, that's intense, but they got that cool space like healing whatever. When you see a dog suspended, it just looks like a drowned dog is floating in there. I think that's a controversial episode. Some people like it, some people don't.
We talked about that.
Yeah, I think I like it. I can't remember. I have to go listen to the podcast that we recorded about A Night in Sick Bay to remember if I liked it or not.
So Amy got it right.
Amy got it right. Yes. Is that TNG or DS9?
Incredible.
Good. I like that.
Amy always gets it right.
Is it Deep Space Nine clapping?
Wouldn't you like to know?
I would. I'm asking.
It's Voyager.
Oh, okay. I got it. Yeah. Because I said TNG at first, but I was like, you know what? The timbre is wasn't quite right for TNG, but definitely
not.
Yeah, Voyager makes sense. Voyager, Deep Space Nine. They had a slightly different audio vibe. Independent
from
each other.
Is that supposed to mean something to me?
But also both had some similarities versus TNG.
Bye.
I'm just jabbering on. Right. Okay, great. Great job, Amy. So now I will play next week's sound for you all to guess. All right. So I'm going to play it one time now, and then we'll pause.
Wait, so Phlox was talking about animals.
Yeah, I said you were right.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. Well, he was talking about a dog. Let's just to clarify, when he was like, most have one head. That's when he's talking about like Archer is asking if Phlox have, if they have dogs on Phloxia. On Phloxia. Phloxjam. On Tasmania. What was it? What's the planet? What's it? He's like Denobulan. On Denobula. On Denobula. Hobart Denobula.
Just a crazy idea.
Hobart Denobula.
Archer's asking about whether they have dogs, and Phlox does this whole thing where he's like, well, you know, we got like quadrupeds that are like, one head, four legs, kind of like a dog. And it was funny because Phlox doesn't really understand pets. And Archer is all like in love with, you know, because Archer likes his dog. His dog is cute. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the sound for you all to guess next week is as follows. I think Dan is going to enjoy this one in particular.
I picked up some indication they are planning to sabotage the Enterprise.
Sabotage.
I didn't play that.
Dan did not play that. That was me playing a
sabotage.
I did play that.
That one he played.
Sabotage.
But
I'm not joking, Lee.
That's from Where No Man Has Gone Before. Now
sabotage.
Sabotage.
That's just I can't remember where that Picard one is or where the Lon is. But those are good.
The Lon
too.
Was in this episode.
That was this episode. Oh yeah, that was this episode where she says
the Picard one was from season 1, episode 25.
Yes, which was the, was that the 80s episode or which one? Is that the neutral zone? No, maybe not. It's, I don't think that's the neutral. Anyway, why am I talking about this? Dan
conspiracy.
There we go. It was conspiracy where they, one of the most violent episodes ever.
Yeah.
Like the Griffin incident was pretty wild. I saw that as a child.
You saw some dude's fleshy skull explode.
Yeah. And they were just like, it's Picard's just like, they're like shooting the guy. And then they like kind of like squeeze the phaser just like harder.
Yeah.
Like that was the first season. They didn't like change the settings. They're just all like, let's just squeeze it harder. Yeah. And just like keep, like Riker's just like, yeah, let's fucking fuck this dude up until he's like, he's already exploded, but let's like make him explode even
some
more.
Some kind of horror movie makeup going on there. Yeah. This head melting.
It was wild. I think that was a good podcast episode when we discussed that. So
sure
let me play this clip one more time, and then we'll get back to our conversation about the
Jib Jabber Jew.
All right, here you go.
I picked up some indication they are planning to sabotage the Enterprise.
Sabotage.
So people are going to get confused because that last part
is part of this clip.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, you might have a heads up on what
I'm so used to, playing it that I forgot. I'm so used to playing in isolation.
You just forgot that I also can go to episodes.
I forgot that like there was things that happened around it. To me, it lives in its own sort of universe.
I get it.
Can we hear it one more time?
What? Okay, I'll play it one more time. This is me playing it, not Dan, but then Dan will probably play his clip of sabotage immediately after I play this full clip that ends.
You
with
can't
the
tell me what I'm doing.
I'm not telling you what you're doing. I'm predicting. You can't tell me what I'm doing. I don't want that to influence what you do. Okay, here we go. One last time. Again, this is not the usual thing we do, but we're going to do it on do a favor for Jesse.
Yeah, I
picked up some indication they are planning to sabotage the Enterprise.
Sabotage. Sabotage.
Oh, you played a different one. Clever boy.
I don't get it.
If Muldoon were in the bushes,
Muldoon,
and you were like hunting Muldoon, Muldoon would be all like, clever boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clever boy. I'm such a clever boy.
Then you'd slice his guts open. Okay. Back to the conversation.
So what else is there really to talk about?
A couple things. Let's talk about Kor, because I'm conflicted because the actor, the character this person was playing, I really enjoyed as a bad guy, as a Klingon that you could take seriously, that you're kind of charmed by. Sure. This person acted nothing like Kor, didn't look like Kor, and specifically, like, people were on, they were like, we've seen Kor's ridges. We've seen Kor without ridges, and we've seen Kor with ridges. Both were played by John Colicos, and then when he had ridges in, you know, Klingon-style ridges in Deep Space Nine, they were completely different to what they did on this fella here, right? So it was confusing because
some other Kor.
The character he was playing, take Kor out of it, was really good for this story. Probably one of the better parts, in my opinion, because I really enjoyed his almost like a Christoph Waltz style. Like, you know, he's kind of silly in some ways, but that makes him like more sinister, right? But again, it really had no relation to the character of Kor. And I'm aggravated because it's like, I have no problem. Like, it would be great to know what Kor is up to. Or just have this be a different character. Why are you just... Right. They're usually good about not just slapping a name on some random character to be an Easter egg, right? It took me out of the story a little bit. And it was frustrating because, again, I really enjoyed the performance. If this is not core, I really like what this actor did. But yeah, why connect it to core and not make any
Paramount
effort?
Paramount flim-flam.
You know?
Was Commander... In this one, they said Commander Core was a direct descendant of Kalis the Unforgettable. Yeah. Has that always been the case?
Well, that comes up in the Deep Space Nine thing. Okay. And it's also one of those things where it's kind of like, you know...
Yeah, because I always thought of Kalis was more like a legendary, mythical kind of thing.
No, he was real. They found his DNA and they cloned him. And then he was all like, as a clone, he was like, I don't know. They say I'm like Klingon Jesus, but I'm just like a regular dude, right? It was like a whole... thing. And then they were all like, well, if he's a clone, is he really Klingon Jesus? I think it's more akin to like people who are like, I'm a descendant of Charlemagne. It's like, yeah, most people are. Yeah, exactly. That's not unusual. Like,
that was a long
a lot of the Genghis Khan genes are
Kayla's
like,
probably 25%. Kayla's probably made a lot of babies.
Sure. It's just like, you know, like time and genealogy and stuff works a certain way. Anyway, again, like, it was unfortunate that this core thing ended up just being a distraction instead of being like, oh, we get to see what core is doing. I don't feel like I did because this person doesn't look or act like core. Yeah. Right? So anyway, that's my piece on that. What did you guys think? Did you have any similar issues or?
I mean, yeah, pretty, I mean, it's just basically what you just said. I don't have anything to add, but it's just like, I was like, oh, this is core because they're telling me this is core, but like I don't feel any sort of emotional attachment. Like,
looks funny.
Any sort of logical relation or like emotional response from seeing a character that's supposed to be this other character we know about? Because I don't feel it. I'm not feeling it.
Too much distance and. I mean, I'm not
too distracted about trying to figure out what the hell's going on in the episode.
Well, and that brings me to like, let's talk about the noir of it all. Cause I do want to chat a little bit about that and I'm glad it's at the end because I won't be compelled to speak too long about this. But as I was about to say hinted at, I think it was fairly direct early on. A big issue I have with this episode is it is not filmed like a noir. It's not edited like a noir. The plot is not a noir plot. It's going for just a vibe of noir, but that means nothing when everything about a noir is taken out, right? There's no detective type character. Doesn't have to be a detective, but there's like somebody who's trying to solve a mystery. In this case, the person trying to solve the mystery is a detective and the femme fatale, but like not really a femme fatale. And then like there's the resistance stuff and they're like trying to do Casablanca, except they do it wrong.
And the mystery is that she's just like trying to figure out what's happening, but like they don't really, it just happening? Feels like they're just kind of bumbling along the whole time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like they don't know. It's like the audience,
there's a lot of conveniences.
There's no like, this is the thing we're trying to figure out. Like they're just blending in and watching this thing unfold through dialogue. That's what people it's describing what's happening, but there is no sort of like, as the part of the fun of it is like being like, okay, we're trying to get to this end point. Like, how are we going to get there? But there's no end point in sight because we don't know where we're going.
And by the
way, we don't know where we're supposed to end up. We don't know what the goal is, what we're doing. It's like, what are we observing here?
Look, another key aspect in addition to the detective character and the femme fatale character, which by the way, femme fatale need not be a female. You can do noir in all combinations, but there are certain pieces and puzzle pieces. You can take some of them away. You can remix some of them, but otherwise it just feels flat. And so there's no real detective or it's a confusing character thing. The plot doesn't really make sense because a true noir story. The other thing about it is a noir story is supposed to have an unsatisfactory ending, not necessarily a sad one, but again, Honor Among Thieves in Deep Space Nine, no spoilers, but that's one where the ending is a melancholy ending. It's a bittersweet ending. Right. It's like it's both accomplishing a task, but not feeling good about it. Right. That doesn't happen here. Really? Not with her. Right. She doesn't feel any bones about like this whole revolution type thing. Also, this whole Casablanca thing really aggravated me because Casablanca is not a film noir. They just were like, oh, you know what? We got like the Maltese Falcon and we've got, the one with the, you know, the guy from My Three Sons, the Double Indemnity is another good one. Right. You got the Third Man, I think would count. You've got all those, Bogart mystery stories, but like Bogart did a lot of noirs. Casablanca is not a noir. It's a completely different type of movie. There's no noir elements, but then just they shove some Casablanca stuff in it because it's like, oh, there's an occupation and a resistance.
Right.
And so they have hints of that. It's like, are you telling a Casablanca story or are you telling a noir story? But for me, to go back to what I was saying earlier in the episode, really the visual language of the episode was the biggest problem I had because, yes, I thought it was really nice to look at. It did not in any way evoke a noir. All the balance of light and dark was wrong. There was the one thing in black and white is you have to wear certain costumes because if you've ever seen them filming like color pictures of filming I Love Lucy or something, the clothes look crazy because they show up, the colors show up weird in black and white. So you don't wear the colors you'd wear in real life to show up on black and white. And there's a lot of thought that goes into the clothing, the props, the lighting. And I have no doubt that the producers were capable of doing all of that, but that's extremely difficult to do on a budget. You can't just like get a bunch of props for black and white stuff and all the costumes and do all that testing stuff. You can do that for a movie. You can't do that for a TV show. And they're shooting on digital. I'm sure there's aspects there. The separation between like different planes. Again, in noir, it's done a certain way to evoke a certain feeling, and none of that was here. This did feel kind of like, let me scroll up in my notes here because there was somebody on Blue Sky that I think said it really well. They said, where is it? Oh yeah. Jody Troutman on Blue Sky said, it's wild that Star Trek has an entire planet that's just Batman, the animated series. Because again, it looked cool, but it was like, why is this like 20s, but future 20s?
Yeah,
I keep thinking, like they have like crazy, like shoulder. It's like Back to the Future
like
2,
the
30s. But also Rocket Man or whatever the Rocketeer.
I kept thinking about that when they were looking at the blueprints, they also showed the planet picture before and after the occupation before. It was like the daytime looking like a standard drawing of some future city from the perspective of the 50s or something,
or like the emerald city in the isolationist story
Wizard of Oz.
Yes, the Wizard.
So the before the daytime, before the occupation, it was daytime and all happy, and then after the occupation, you knew it was after the occupation because it was nighttime and there was lightning. And so that's
And but Batman, you can see Batman trains.
Yeah, there was a Batman city they showed. Yeah,
lots of Batman trains. It was. I thought that Jody Troutman was very accurate with her pithy statement about Batman the Animated Series.
Actually, yes.
Except that looked better because they had better separation between between the different layers. And again, it's a nuanced and weird aggravation because it was beautifully filmed. The cinematography was beautiful. It just was not noir. Mm-hmm. It was this extra special other thing that I think would have been, again, better. I kept getting distracted because they kept saying like, here's a noir element. Look at this. It's all noir, but the plot's not noir and the colors aren't right and the costumes are weird. And then there's this like B plot that has nothing to do with it. And then
I had a feeling that this episode was going to be problematic like before I watched it. Like I saw the little like thumbnail of like a scene from the episode. Yeah. I was like, I don't know this one.
This is not a sort of a perfect analog, but I keep thinking about, I don't remember if it was Strange New Worlds or what, but where they would do like a fade from one scene and the other, they do like a cool camera fade where they'd like focus on the sun and it would turn into something, or they'd point to the sky.
It's
and
like Spaceballs. They do that in Spaceballs.
Well, and like the problem was that it would look like a cool fade the way they did it. They point at the thing and it fade into this other thing. But usually when you do that, there's some kind of symbolic link between the two scenes where it's ideally. like you focus on this one thing, it fades into the
you
other
did it
scene
for a reason.
Yeah, it doesn't just look cool. There's an actual real relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think there was one episode of something where it like went to the sky and then went back down to the ground. It was somewhere else and it was like, wow, that looked neat, but it was just kind of like fluff. It just was pointless.
Now, did that have a point in this?
Yes, it did, because it feels like a lot of this stuff they're doing here was just for this, just to be cool and stylish.
Yeah, basically.
Like you said, you see all these noir elements, but it's not noir.
And that's the thing. That's what pulls you out of it, right? Because you can do noir in color. Honor Among Thieves is in color. Chinatown is a great neo-noir It's in color. Blade Runner.
LA
Confidential.
LA Blue Girl?
Yeah, LA Confidential.
Do you ever see LA Blue Girl?
No, is
I
that
don't know
a,
what the fuck you're talking about.
Well, you were the is one who talked. You were talking about hentai earlier. How'd you know it was hentai?
I'm just guessing because it sounds like a hentai title.
Yeah. It had sex ninjas.
Sex ninjas?
Yeah, where the.
That sounds all right.
Where like the
they have penises on their feet and they kick people with their penis feet?
No, but there were these women ninjas and their zooty doos would turn into ding dongs.
I'm not clear. Can you describe more?
One of their ninja powers is they took their zooty doo and turned it into a ding dong.
Whoa.
And then what happened?
I think they had sex
the
with
old
people
switcheroo.
With it.
Oh. But are you talking about the old switcheroo?
But they somehow used it to defeat their enemies. I don't remember how that worked. But somehow they could turn their zooty doo into a ding dong.
Were there any tentacles? Was it.
I've been probably tentacles, but like the poor, I was more focused on these.
Like, are you just like they're probably tentacles?
There was these women ninjas whose thingies turned into extended. They extended and they fought with it somehow. I can't remember how. They were like sex ninjas.
Okay, all right. I should have just accepted that from the beginning.
Yeah,
thank you though for providing
the old ninja switcheroo
in additional information. I might have to investigate.
Is there
that
what are they called? They're clomperous.
The clomperous?
Yeah, the woman's clomperous.
A woman's clomperous.
Like, what do they call it?
It's called a woman's clomperous.
It's on their vagina.
I like to inspect a dame's skirts. Grompulous, what'd you call it?
Clomperous.
Legrubious.
A woman's clomperous.
They're legrubious clompulous?
It's covered in legrubious.
It's their lugubrious clomperous. That sounds Use just said inspect. Do you ever hear that joke as a kid where you'd be like, hey, after every sentence say Inspector Gadget?
Remember
that joke?
Yeah, you told us all that joke.
Rubber balls and liquor.
Yeah, rubber balls and liquor is another good one.
And then you get to the part
pea greens
and there was something like it was all these normal things that said Inspector Gadget, and then at the end you say something about a girl and you say Inspector Gadget.
Right.
And in first grade you laugh a lot.
We said something silly.
Yeah,
clomperous. Lugubrious clomperosity.
Yeah. Well, anything else to say about this episode?
Clomperous lugubriosity.
Oh, that's better, yes.
Yeah. Dan, I agree with you.
1.21 gigawatts.
It was kind of boring. I didn't have your same problem.
I was so bored.
I think The Unforgettable was probably still more boring for me, but that's also a recency bias. I'd seen that a few times. This is the first time I saw this episode.
I want to say that, like, logically, I want to say that Unforgettable is a more boring episode, but for whatever reason, I had a hard time sitting through this one.
I can see why. I think I was probably partly engaged just because it was confusing and my brain
that's
was like,
maybe kinda, that's, maybe was, that's
normally they just are tighter writers.
Maybe that's,
I was trying to sit through it and say what was actually going to happen. And that kept it me from fidgeting. So
Well, maybe I think for me, maybe Patrick might have hit it on the head with saying it was like it was hard to figure out what was going on, and maybe that is what made it even like me less inspired to watch it, because I was just like, what is this?
Now I'm
not that I need my plots to be easy, but it's just like it got to be too much work to like
too much work.
Complicated plot is fine if it actually works and leads to something.
It felt like homework that didn't make that.
Well, because it's unresolved. It's like an unresolved musical phrase.
It's like I walked home with a homework worksheet and it wasn't like properly explained, and I'm like sitting there trying to figure out what they want me to answer the.
Are you having
these
types of dreams, Dan?
I didn't say anything about dreams.
I didn't say you said anything.
So I don't know.
I'm asking if you're having anxiety dreams. Because you were using multiple analogies related to schoolwork that was confusing or not turned in.
That is an unnecessary leap.
I said nothing about dreams.
Okay. I did.
You did.
I asked.
You tried to push that into my being.
All right.
And then claim it.
I didn't try to accept you.
You tried to push it into my being and then claim it originated from me.
I never, never did such a thing.
You put words into my body.
No, that is precisely what you're doing.
No.
No. And then you know Jesse's bored of this conversation.
I'm putting actions into your body.
Because Jesse's now fiddling with the microphone.
See that? Squinching a bag of chips.
I found a thing to fidget with.
Yeah. That's cool.
Make a funny noise.
Yeah. It's also,
that's cool. You know, please stop.
We're past time. I get it, Jesse. Okay. Not much to say about this episode. I'm on record as really...
Must be annoying.
I really disliked last season's What is Starfleet? I still really disliked that episode. This episode did not annoy me and like make me kind of angry like that episode did. I'm more in your boat, Dan, that this was just sort of like... Part of it, I think part of the problem I had with this episode is there was so much opportunity that just wasn't taken, right? Yeah. Because, Una... getting her own episode, as you already said, Dan, it's a shame that it was like this episode because she was trying her best. And I really enjoy seeing Rebecca Romijn get to, you know, stretch herself a little. She
looks exactly like this other person. We won't say why. We'll even have the character be like, isn't that strange? Yeah, so, it's like, yes, it is strange, but we won't explain why.
It's a big galaxy.
The confusion between noir and Casablanca and this and that and the Klingons and all that. It's just missed opportunities. And that makes it more frustrating than boring for me, in the sense that it's like they kept hinting at, like, oh, you could have done this slightly differently. And, you know, what are you going to do? I get it.
Do not confuse yourself with a person you're pretending to be.
I really did enjoy Mbenga in this, even though a lot of the stuff he was saying kind of didn't make a lot of sense, because he was just all like, yeah, I don't like killing people, but I'm really good at killing people. Oh yeah, and Una, she's used to not being like acting like herself. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? I know you're talking about that she hid her Illyrian, whatever. I know, but really, no, that's not the same as pretending to be your doppelganger informant / leader of the resistance on a random planet.
Really, we should be running into our doppelgangers all the time, considering how large our universe is.
Now, it was like a plot salad.
What they should have done to retroact...
Prepared plot salad.
I really like that term, Jesse. Thank you. Right on. Plot salad. And what would be great is if retroactively, to make this episode better, if like every episode from here on out, they just meet a doppelganger.
Yeah.
To kind of like reinforce. Yeah. And then like... every episode, there's just Mbenga's in the background just silently being like,
yeah, he's just like nodding his head.
Not, like winking, kind of winking at Una. Secretly, like, yeah.
I'm secretly a
man. Like, see?
Yeah, see? Look, we've got three Scotties now.
I would love it if they doubled down on that.
Scotty's like, I've got three twin, not twin brothers.
What's going on there, Patrick?
I was going to suggest that Scotty was triplets, but I was already getting it wrong because I was about to say, Scotty's got two twin brothers.
And they all order like a half liter of whiskey or whatever.
Not at all.
It's green.
When he ordered, like,
that's odd.
Yeah, for medicinal purposes. Yeah.
Across my heart, I hope to get stuck in a pattern buffer.
Again, it's a funny joke, but yes, that's a tragic thing that happens to Scotty later.
Oh, and Ortega laughed at that joke. Mm-hmm. So it's another flirty thing. Yeah. Ortega and Scotty are flirty.
I hope it's just still friendly. Yeah.
I hope so too.
But anyway,
I'm overplaying it a little bit. I hope.
Well, we'll see. We'll continue.
Continue.
We'll continue. Our coverage, our weekly coverage.
Continuity.
You pronounce it differently.
Of Star Trek Strange New Worlds.
You do.
Next week.
Helicopter.
When we discuss the sure to be controversial episode.
Another one.
What's it called? It's called like Puppet Something.
The Puppets.
What's the episode called, Dan? Oh, no, I have it in my notes.
Much Ado About Muppets.
Yes. No, not Muppets, because that's owned by the Disney Company.
I know.
Yes. Level 5 transporter accident.
That's right.
Level 5, which is correct, because level is modifying 5. Level 5 transporter accident. You're like, thank you. So look forward to that. Now, it's important that you, if you want to write into us, you write in at feedback@discussstartrek.com with letters, comments, questions, or guesses for where the hell have I heard that before. You can go to
34.6 megahertz.
You can go to our website
at record bits.
www.itsgotstartrek.com. And
you want to tell her what you had for lunch today, too?
There's fun stuff to do there. For example, you can sort our podcast by series. If you just want to hear our...
I do love rules.
Strange New Worlds.
And lists.
Or Lower Decks, whatever.
And rules about lists.
You can do that. Check it out. If you would like to give us money, you can go to patreon.com/itsgotstartrek. And by the way, even if you don't want to give us money, go subscribe there, because there's some free stuff is available there as well.
I think she used alkaloid toxin.
Every time he whispers, it's hilarious. Because it's like, alkaloid toxins, like one of the most common like poisons. It's like, we get it.
It's not free if you subscribe to it. I pay to subscribe to it, by the way.
No. You can subscribe as like a free user, but you don't get access to but you'll get notified when there's a new private thing. Mm. And there are a few freebies. And also there's free previews. And sometimes we just give stuff away.
We're just like, this stuff.
Identification is required. And failure to provide will result in search and seizure. We succeed.
Finally, you can get us on all the social medias, or most of them anyway, at It's Got Star Trek. Follow us there, communicate, join in the fun. It's a good time. Facebook and YouTube. And if you wouldn't mind, subscribing to us on YouTube is extremely helpful these days.
And it's so easy.
The world is crazy. You don't need to listen to the podcast.
The world is a vampire.
You can subscribe to us and you can mute the notification if you want, but subscribe to us. It would be great.
It's so easy to do.
And you can you can listen to the podcast on the TV. We don't do video, but we can provide you with
someday,
we provide a custom, usually slightly comical, static image that goes on your TV while you're pottering around the house doing errands or sitting on the couch being sad.
And if you think it's boring to subscribe to a YouTube channel, just try it with a different body part other than your finger. It'll be so much more fun then.
I mean,
that's a great idea.
We can't guarantee. I know what Dan's saying, but
for legal
purposes, we cannot guarantee you'll have fun if you use an alternate
body
part.
I'm guaranteeing you will have fun.
I think it's quite probable, quite likely.
I'm going to give you a chance.
I think it's an encouraging idea.
For most people.
It must be you now.
And in fact, why don't you give that a try? And if it works out or doesn't, write us in at feedback@discussstartrek.com. Subject line, either nipple, toe.
Alternate digit.
Penis. Vulva. But
clomperous.
I don't know. Whatever. Volvo. Whatever. Alternate the earlobe.
Clomperous.
Or clomperous. Tip of the nose is another option. Probably a common one. So let us know how you
not only
should you subscribe to us on YouTube. I want you to let us know how you subscribe to us on YouTube.
Don't use your tongue.
I
don't mind if they use their tongue.
They might get zipple zapped.
I don't think that happens.
What's going to keep your clomperous from getting zipple zapped?
I mean, because it's a little different.
Well,
just don't get too excited beforehand.
You know what, Dan? You're a little different. We'll talk to you all next
week. Clearly, I'm not.
Next week.
Surely hope so.
Goodbye.
We should withdraw.
Commander, we're officially leaving Klingon space.
Maimatar, never waver!
Maimatar, never waver.
Never waver.
And the withdrawal method I'm given to understand is not effective.
No, when you pull out and don't shoot.
Ropes.
Yeah.
All right. Goodbye.
Pull out, King.
So this signal has nothing to do with the Angelo one?
The probe? Not at all. Across my heart, I hope to get stuck in a pattern buffer. Oh, hang on.